The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. For life insurance, investment, and retirement strategies, Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for the future and protect your family's finances. Call Chris at 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation conversation today. And now, get ready for the new Pewter Nation podcast.
Hey, hey, with the monkeys. People say we're monkeying around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We go where we want to.
72hourprint.com is the official print partner of PewterReport.com. For printing, signage, and apparel needs, contact our partners at 888-72-HR-PRINT or 72hourprint.com. That's 72hrprint.com. Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with my boss, Mr. Scott Reynolds.
How are you doing?
With Mr. Taylor, the something checker, Jenkins.
Always glad to be here.
See, I left it out for you this time.
I appreciate that.
Being nice, pre-training
camp. I'm going to start doing some embarrassing things to get a new nickname, but not quite that embarrassing.
Yeah, that's
something, a good idea. Shave it off.
There's not a whole lot more you can do worse than that. And, of course, wearing his Chiefs football hat, Mr. Matthew Matera.
Hello, hello. Nice to be with everyone again. The band's back together. It's been a little while.
It's not Chiefs as in Kansas City Chiefs.
Correct.
Let's clarify.
Correct. It's Massapequa Chiefs. Did we not high school football.
Did we not do a podcast last week?
Is he from
New York? I wasn't there.
Where were you? Oh, yeah. You were
in L.A.
Los
Angeles. Yeah, I was.
Hanging out with the big boys of the ESPYs.
I was. It was a very good time.
Did you bring me back my Megan Rapinoe or whatever her name is autograph I asked for?
Well, I was about to get one, but then that whole video came out with the kid with the soccer
ball. Yeah, which
she
completely ignored.
I was literally next online. So
oh, damn it.
I was very close.
Well, we are back, and this is the pre-training camp edition. We are really 1 week away from the rookies reporting.
Yes.
And then the veterans, well, really, the vet, I don't know. We're 8 days away. Today's Thursday. Training camp starts next Friday, July 26th, guys.
Yes, there will be a practice then, and our next podcast will be next Thursday, a week from today. And we'll have had a chance at that time to hear from Bruce Arians and some current Buccaneer players, some veterans probably, as training camp begins. Next Thursday is the reporting day for all players. The rookies will be in earlier, but the veterans will come in, take their physicals, be ready to go. And training camp starts, yes, that next Friday.
Wonder how JPP's physical is going to go.
I think he's going to be exempt from taking a physical.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Probably a smart move.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because I just put up today, we've been running this Bucks Critical Camp Questions a segment as we count down to training camp, and my question today that I answered was Justin Evans. So there were a couple players, JPP obviously being the one guy that's not going to be ready for training camp, but there are a couple of players, Cam Brate, Evan Smith, Jack Sitchi, and Justin Evans, who did not participate in the offseason. And the last we heard from Bruce Arians, they're expected all those players to be ready to go by July 26th, though. We'll find out in less than a week what their status is.
I don't know that I'm still counting on Justin Evans, but we'll get into that a little bit later. You mentioned former players by accident a few minutes ago, but I think maybe you had a former player on your mind, Scott.
I certainly did.
We had an opportunity this week to host Mike Allstott and his wife, and Rich, who runs the foundation, the Mike Allstott Family Foundation, which does a lot of great in the Tampa Bay community. We had an opportunity to have a bowling event with him at Penn Chasers, one of our sponsors. Had a terrific turnout. Probably 60 or 70 people, raised over $2,500.
Yeah.
All proceeds went to the Mike Allstott Family Foundation. But Mike was kind enough to join us for a few minutes, about 10 or 15 minutes. We got to speak to him a little bit about the Buccaneers, about his playing time, about his foundation, but also about what he expects from this football team, including talking about Jameis Winston. We're going to take a listen to that now, and after that we'll be back to talk about Buccaneers training camp.
We're joined by our special guest, Mike Allstott, the A-Train. Ring of Honor member.
That's my train whistle. Is that good?
That's pretty good.
It's really bad.
Well,
that wasn't good.
That wasn't good.
That was bad.
Somebody bring me a train whistle. Why don't we have one?
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
You remember those old wooden train whistles, though, Mike?
Yeah,
right?
No, I just signed one out there a couple
minutes
ago.
That's so cool, right?
Yeah, real cool.
Yeah, that was a tremendous novelty item, you know, back in the day. I know you were so involved in the game, and there were literally a thousand of those that people would bring. Did you hear that? You were playing, or are you just so into the game you didn't hear that?
Yeah, no, it was, you know, I saw them pregame, and, you know, I always
because they're loud.
You know, pregame, I always looked around and just, you know, just enjoyed all that. You know, they got all the fans piling in, standing by the wall, you know, yelling your name and stuff like that, you know, cheering you on. But as the game went on, it was, you're in the zone. You
television
just don't hear
on the game.
Yeah, no, exactly right. You just don't hear that type of stuff. And the only thing I really heard is myself trying to catch my breath half the time, you know what I mean? But it was, you know, again, but seeing some of the, you know, it is interesting to me when the highlights go on and stuff like that. It's not so much the watching me. It's like me watching the background and watching the sidelines and watching the fans and stuff like that, and seeing what their reactions are in some of those, in all those highlights and whatever when they replay the, you know, the plays nowadays.
My favorite thing that fans brought into the stands, and Nicole, his wife's here, close your ears on this one. Remember the play on the "You're in Good Hands with Allstott," the Allstate commercial, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a lady at the old stadium with a T-shirt that had a pair of hands.
That's right.
That were cupping her, you know what?
Her chest.
And her shirt said, "I'm in good hands with Allstott." I wish there would have been cell phone cameras back in the day.
I don't think that was officially licensed.
No, it was not officially licensed. Absolutely not.
But wow, what a tribute, right?
Yeah.
And they were
Berman
both of them
started
were signed.
Something, right?
I'm kidding. They were not signed, Nicole. They were not signed.
Berman started a good thing right there, huh?
Yeah. You know, I wanted to ask you, because Rondé Barber's going to the Bucks Ring of Honor this year.
Yeah.
And
well-deserved.
Well-deserved, exactly. Yeah. And you've played now with a lot of these guys that are going in there. You know, Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp already in, you're in, Rondé's in. Who are some of the next guys, in your opinion, to get that honor? I'm thinking, let me throw some names out, and you tell me what you think about these. Simeon Rice, Hardy Nickerson, and I'm thinking Monty Kiffin, right? When you think about this, here's the interesting thing. John Gruden's the all-time winningest coach in Bucks history. He passed Tony Dungy.
Mm-hmm.
But the ultimate trivia question out there for Buccaneer fans is, who's the all-time winningest coach in Buccaneer history? It's Monty Kiffin.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was there for both regimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Won more games than anybody in the franchise history. And when you look at the Tampa 2 and the defensive stamp he put on, not just the tremendous defense in Tampa, but league-wide, that trend, I think Monty's
Of the names, I mean, there's no question they're all deserving.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right. If there's going to be, and I don't know, is there such a situation where it's an assistant coach gets the gets that ring? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that's the one thing. Will they ever look at it like that, you know? Well, for a lot of years, though, you know, it was basically a split regime. You know what I mean? I mean, we had the head coach, but there was basically two head coaches, you know what I mean, when it was going on. I felt during the Gruden years, you know what I mean, because Gruden is so highly involved in the offense. Dungy was more of a manager, you know what I mean?
Yep.
He went both ways. But when Gruden, you know, he was always on the offense trying to kick, you know, especially when we were in camp and OTAs and stuff like that.
It was
that,
Monty versus Tony, and you guys are Monty versus John.
John,
you
know, exactly. So, again, I hope he gets that honor. He's well-deserved. I love the guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I never got to really, you know, I played for him, but I didn't play for him on his side of the ball, and we just have a great relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a chance to run into him at your Mike Allstott.
Yeah, great.
Celebrity
golf
weekend event, and it was great seeing him. You know, boy, you had a tremendous event this year.
Yeah, no, it was great. Rich and my wife put a great event on, and they did a great job. But, you know, I think, we just need a little twist up, and we were a little nervous regarding, you know, the way it was going to go.
The casino night,
But we all thought it was just a big hit, and just it's what everybody wanted, you know what I mean, rather than sitting there for, you know, the two-hour period and stuff like that. Everybody,
Charlie Belcher did a great job.
Yeah, everybody did a great job. It was a hit. Yeah, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're still involved in football, right? Like you'll be at one Buccaneer place, probably training camp. You usually come out and check up on the franchise.
Yeah, maybe early, but I start right after.
Right.
So you know, I coach, and so I'll start the 29th, and I think you just mentioned the 25th or 26th or something like that. They start so. Yeah, I'll probably try to get out there because I got to meet Bruce a couple times.
Bruce Arians,
So it was a pleasure meeting him, getting to talk to him. Mm-hmm. He's really down to earth guy, right?
He is,
straightforward. So I'll probably go out there. at least one time before I get really wrapped up in my season. So, yeah.
Jameis Winston was also at your event. He's been a big supporter of yours ever since he, I think,
even before
he became a Buccaneer.
Yeah, no, Jameis. We got to meet Jameis. You know, he was actually, before he was even drafted, he was at the Foundation event, and got to hang around where all the current Buccaneers at the time they were there and whatnot. But, you know, it was pretty cool. The other day I did a just yesterday, I think, I did a commercial. And I was at this field, and he was out there working out. And he was out there for, geez, at least 3, 4, 5 hours working out and stuff like that.
It's supposed to be his vacation time,
no,
right?
No, he was out there in full shoulder pads, helmets, and doing his thing. And, you know, it was really impressive. Got to talk to him, and he's excited. And, you know, I hope he, you know, he's a good kid. He's a good kid. I know he's probably learned a lot of, you know, throughout the last four years
yeah,
he's been here.
4 years.
4 years. Sometimes I think it's five, but
yeah,
this
time
is
flies.
Bit, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so I hope it goes well for him. I really do. You know, he's a good kid, and I know there's been a lot of heartache in a lot of areas for him. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's passionate about the game, and he wants to win, and he wants to be successful, and and you know, along with, and he wants to take his Buccaneers to the next level.
How important is that relationship between that quarterback and the head coach? Obviously,
Brad Johnson,
I mean, that's got to be crucial. Bruce seems like the right guy for Jameis, right? I mean,
well, especially when you have a offensive minded head coach, right?
Yeah.
So that's huge. I mean, the head coach is pretty much in, you know, the quarterback meeting room or ear nonstop, right? Especially if you're a play caller. I know he's not a play caller anymore, but I'm sure he's stopping in that meeting room a lot. You know, they got Clyde, and they got Byron Leftwich, you know, doing a lot of the offensive stuff now, right? And but he's gonna be a part. He's always been a part of a lot of you know, the Peyton Mannings and
Roethlisberger,
Andrew Luck,
and who was out in Arizona?
Palmer,
right? Yeah, so he's been with great, some good guys, and you know.
Yeah, and
done some great things. So, you know, hopefully, you know, he can get into Jameis and do some things too.
You know, I know you still bleed red and pewter.
Yeah,
and it's been a minute now since this team has been to the playoffs. It's been since the Super Bowl, since they've won in the postseason. But you were here. You came. I started covering the Bucs in '95. You came in '96. We saw the rise of the Buccaneers in '97. Yeah. It happened pretty quickly under Tony Dungy. And you remember what it was like going down Dale Mabry, the car flags,
everybody
wearing red and pewter.
Yeah.
It's been over a decade now. And we've seen in this area with the Lightning how the success has really kind of painted this town blue. But this is still a football state. It's a football city. And when the Buccaneers win, it's going to come back around again. You know, how much are you looking forward to that?
There's no question, you know, the city of Tampa and even the Tampa Bay area are just, you know, would love to have you know, just successful, you know, run at it again. You know, they're just waiting to, you know, beat down the door. You know what I mean? And, you know, I was just with Derek Brooks, you know, a couple of days ago, and we were just talking about that. It's like, you know, we had a nice little, we had a special situation.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It was just a, and I think a lot of guys in the NFL understand after they're done, you got to have that bond. You got to have that chemistry. You got to have that understanding of each other, who has who's back and what roles each other has. And you can't have that. We didn't have nothing selfish on our team through that.
And you had a lot of big personalities.
First 6 years of my career, you know what I mean? 7 years of my career, you know, the 6th year was the Super Bowl, and then the 7th even, you know, was a little disappointing just because a lot of guys got hurt.
Sure.
And then it turned a little bit. But it was it started in the off season, and that's how we were. You know what I mean? We were competing in the off season. You know, Brooks and I were competing against each other in the off season. You know what I mean? And I'm sorry to say, it's just the game has changed.
It has.
The game has changed.
And not
the
for the better.
The mentality has changed. Yeah. I think it's, and unfortunately, it's more selfish than that. And it's all about who themselves and what they're going to get rather than how they're going to get it, about going with it with the team and stuff like that. In some cases, I'm not saying all, right? But, you know, it's a hard time right now unless you really have, you know, someone that can control that atmosphere.
Right.
Control that atmosphere.
Yeah.
And that was the greatest thing with, you know, Coach Dungy and then going into Gruden, mm-hmm. right? They didn't have to control the atmosphere because we controlled that atmosphere,
yeah.
right?
It's the accountability.
Yeah, well,
the
yeah, accountability. But we, you know what, we'd let you know. And you know what, when new guys came in, Buck football. If you didn't play Buck football, man, you weren't a part. You know,
right.
you got and there was a special way to play Buck football, right?
Yeah.
And that's another discussion for another day. But it's just a situation where, you know, if the guys talked about it, mm-hmm. you know, if we talked about Bucks football, the guys in the locker room, we would everybody would understand.
Yeah,
you know
and, it was a business-like mentality. You guys were there to work, and you guys were there to win.
I mean, we had fun, though.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
get me wrong. We had fun.
But winning
was
fun.
We understood we had that chip on our shoulder when we lost to Philly for so many years. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We had a chip on our shoulder. I mean, it was a situation where we were pissed at each other mm-hmm. for getting our head coach fired.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah.
And but again, you know, next year came in, and we took care of business. But again, it was a special locker room. We had a special relationship, special guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had, you know, throughout my career, I had great coaches,
yeah.
right? All across the board, from defense that didn't coach me to they have great relationships now. And then, obviously, offensively, you
right.
know. But, you know, it was just a good run. Mm-hmm. It was a great run. And it's going to take something really special to overcome what we did.
Sure.
And I'm just bragging about
or,
it. You know,
or,
and I guarantee
yeah.
if all my other fellow
right.
you know, if my other fellow teammates are here, they'd understand. I guess you gotta understand. You gotta be there to understand that the realm that we went through and how we built that.
Right.
Well, it just didn't happen overnight.
No, and it was special too. And I don't know if anyone can top that because it was the first too. You know, you scored the first touchdown by a Buccaneer in a Super Bowl. And I was just talking with your wife, Nicole, before we did this podcast. And you look back at some of those most memorable touchdowns, important touchdowns in Bucs history. I think Rondé Barber up there with the pick six, right? The 92-yarder.
Of course.
But you scored the first touchdown in Philly in that game after Joe Jervisius' big play.
Yeah.
That was a huge psychological hurdle for you guys
You got to understand, everybody was excited for each other. Everybody got their turn.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody got to touch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nobody got pissed off each other or upset
right.
at each other that, you know, when this guy got more touches or this player got more touches or this happened, that happened, and stuff like that. It just flowed. The game flowed.
Yeah.
You know, Pittman didn't get mad when I dotted the I
right.
and stuff like that. It was just, you know, I would come in, do my thing. He would do his thing. You know, Michael Pittman got 130-plus yards in that Super Bowl. It was great. You know, it was probably one of my best games ever blocking and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just one of those things, you know, that took place. You know what I mean? And we are all there for one mission,
right?
We were there for one mission, and that's what you have to be. And I'm just not certain on today's world of you know, athletes if they're that way anymore.
Yeah, let's talk about your foundation real quick as we wrap up with Mike Allstott. You know, Rich Clements, your director, gave me an amazing stat because right now everything on Twitter is about the Madden ratings because mm-hmm. they just came out. You are one of two players in Madden history to have a perfect 100.
Yeah, I heard that. My son, my son.
You and Deion Sanders, that's incredible.
My son texted me one day, not too long ago, maybe a year ago, and he said something like that, and I was like, all right,
so
whatever,
cool,
that's cool.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I guess so, yeah, if you're that guy. Yeah.
But Rich does a fantastic job. We talked about your casino night, your celebrity weekend. You've done such a tremendous job staying in this community and giving back. And you're one of the most popular Buccaneers of all time, one of the best Buccaneers of all time in the Ring of Honor. But I think the reason why people gravitate towards you and love you is because you're still part of the community. You're still giving back, just like when you did when you walked in the door in 1996 as part of Tony Dungy's mantra to you guys to get involved in the community, and you haven't stopped.
No, it's been something that, you know, my wife and I, you know, we met early in my career and we wanted to start this. And we started, you know, obviously in 07. That's when Rich was working for the Buccaneers. We've been talking mm-hmm. about doing this. And then we sat down, all three of us, and we said, hey, come aboard and let's start this mission.
Yeah.
And but again, throughout the time of the 12 years I played before we started that, you know, we were involved,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing the all children's and, you know, doing some stuff.
The football camps.
But we just didn't have, you know, the way it is now,
right.
where we're, you know, hands-on, we mm-hmm. control everything, and we do everything, and we're putting more smiles on people's faces because of the programs we do,
because
we're more interacting in our programs, and we, we we build relationships. We do everything, and Rich does a great job of setting that up and teaming up with great partners so we can do that. And the family and I, we just go out there and interact and try to help people and put smiles on faces. We're not big. Well, hopefully we change lives each and every year.
And the money stays local here.
We're a firm believer of, you know, let's start in our backyard. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people in our backyard that need to be helped before moving, you know, other places. And I think, you know, this is where we reside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is where we grew up our kids and our family and stuff, and this is where we live, and we're going to help our backyard and stuff like that.
Outstanding. So, Mike Allstott, The A-Train. Peter Nation, if you're out there listening, support Mike's charity, the Mike Allstott Family Foundation. You can go online and you can make a donation. So whether you live in St. Petersburg, Tampa, whether you live in Kansas City or Seattle, Washington, if you're out there listening, you're a Buccaneer fan, you're an A-Train fan, the money stays local. Mark Cook and I have been out to your celebrity events, your charity events, and you just do a fantastic job in the community. So support Mike, go online. And make a donation today. Mike, thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate you guys having us out here and doing this today for us. This is awesome.
Great event here at Penn Chasers Midtown in Tampa. We've got a full house tonight.
Yeah, no,
you've
big
been
time,
working
right?
the rounds, so we really appreciate you coming out.
No,
thank
thanks
you,
for having us. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
That was great.
That was fun.
Allstott is the man.
Yeah.
You know, Scott, it's crazy because, you know, we have these events, and sometimes we have current players and former players. The two top events we've ever had has been with Mike Allstott.
Yeah, in terms of the draw. Yeah.
What year did he retire? Mid-2000s? I don't know, 2006, 5?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. I don't remember. Here we are nearly 15 years later, and this guy is still really a fan favorite. And if you were to rank Buccaneer players all time as far as fan favorites, I'd say he's probably certainly still in the top five.
There's no doubt about it. He's a legend is really what he is. He's a player that performed on the field and did so quite well, helping this team win a Super Bowl, as we talked about on the podcast, taping with Mike, scored the first touchdown in the Super Bowl and really started off a tremendous day for Buccaneer fans as the Buccaneers whipped up on the Raiders in Super Bowl out there in San Diego. His career did come to an end in 2006 with a neck injury. But six Pro Bowls, numerous All-Pro appearances, most touchdowns ever by a Buccaneer in Tampa Bay history. It was cool for Mike, too. We did a Q&A afterwards, and so he had 78 touchdowns, 71 in the regular season, seven in the postseason, including that one in the Super Bowl. But then he also was quick to point out he had three in the Pro Bowl, too.
Yeah, he was quick to point that out.
So yeah. This is a guy, it's going to take a special person a long time to break that touchdown mark. And I think the only Buccaneer that comes to mind that has a chance of that is
Ronald
Mike
Jones.
Evans.
Oh,
I was going to say Mike Evans.
Probably more so than Ronald Jones.
Yeah, well, Ronald Jones is on his way. He's got one.
Yeah.
So he's about 70 behind.
Right.
But yeah, when you look at Mike Evans, I think that if he can string together some of those double-digit touchdown seasons, and he's had a couple. He had 12 as a rookie. That set not only the rookie record, but also the receiving record, broke Joey Galloway's mark. Then he had 12 again in 2016. So, you know, he had 8 last year. So this is an opportunity now. For someone like Mike Evans, who signed for many, many years from now, he's already got 40 touchdowns, so he's more than halfway there. I think that Mike Evans will be the Buccaneer that has the best chance of breaking that record.
And Mike was the go-to guy. Obviously, they got inside the red zone or inside the 5-yard line. The ball was going to Mike Allstott.
Yeah.
Mike Evans is hampered a little bit by the fact that this team has just so much talent around them.
Yeah.
And they don't run the ball in the end zone very well. They haven't the last few years. And that's something I remember Todd Monken pointing out last offseason. Mm-hmm. They needed their top touchdown guy to be a guy that, you know, they want to run the ball when they get inside the 5-yard line in the end zone. The best teams in the league, the most successful teams, run the ball well inside the 5-yard line. The Buccaneers still weren't able to do that very well last year. But between Cam Brate and Chris Godwin and Adam Humphries last year and O.J. Howard.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of talent to spread that ball around. If Mike Evans was playing in, 10, 12 years ago, you know, he probably would have another dozen touchdowns, in other words.
Yeah, and I think, too, with Mike Evans, he's the number one red zone target. He's always going to be drawing the double teams, and that's why players like Cam Brate and O.J. Howard, they get those touches.
Should he get an assist like in soccer?
Or in hockey, yeah.
I don't know what that is.
You mentioned Allstott. He had 10 rushing touchdowns in 2001, and then he had three other years with seven or more.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, too, that there's this other running back on the team at the time that was pretty damn good.
Dorick won.
Warwick Dunn.
Mixed up.
Yeah, and he had his share of touchdowns as well. So it wasn't just, like you were talking about, well, Mike Evans might have had more touchdowns. Mike Allstott had plenty, and he had to split carries in that WD-40 backfield.
Yeah. Well, and we appreciate Mike joining us, and again, really all that he does, and you can go to his website. You can make a donation there, and all the money really stays in the Tampa Bay community. He talked about that, you know, helping out the people here at home. And anyway, hats off to Mike and Nicole and Rich and all that they do for the foundation. Now, before we listen to Mike, we were talking a little bit about some of those camp questions, and you mentioned Justin Evans. Yes, I know what Bruce said, but of all the guys, he's the one that I'm most concerned about heading into this training camp. Number one, even if he's ready to go day one, which I don't know how he is well from June 10th to now, because it went from a foot to a...
Well, it was a toe, sprained toe on his right foot to a heel injury on his left foot.
Right.
So, no, left. You said right, it's left.
Sure, certainly.
There you go.
Who's on first?
Yeah. So, listen, you know... The thing is, Justin Evans, regardless, is going to be financially set this year, right? Because he's still going to make the team. Hopefully, he can participate and play, not have to end up on injured reserve. You know, we talk about O.J. Howard having both of his first two seasons end on injured reserve. Mm-hmm. Same with Justin Evans. And but you know, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't end up on injured reserve. And so one of the ways that I try to prevent that is by talking to my good friend Chris Garrido at West Shore Financial.
Financial injured reserve.
There you go. He's going to get paid. You got to make sure that...
I'm still a little foggy from vacation, but I caught on.
So this Pewter Nation podcast, as you know, is presented by Chris Garrido, a good friend at West Shore Financial. And it's the official financial sponsor of PewterReport.com. Our longtime listeners have heard me talk about Chris and West Shore Financial. So I'm going to ask you, Pewter Nation, have you called Chris today? If you haven't, what are you waiting for? Now's the time. Even if you have your own financial guy, you've heard about getting a second opinion when you go to the doctor, right? When you get diagnosed with something. Well, it's always good to get a second opinion, and there's no obligation to sign up with Chris or West Shore Financial. Just have a conversation and talk to Chris about where you are financially in terms of your retirement and in terms of your insurance so your family's protected. So I'll admit it. I was that guy. I was the guy that thought he had enough life insurance, the guy that didn't put nearly enough money away for my retirement. I procrastinated. Don't be like me. Call Chris Garrido. Let his team at West Shore Financial come up with a sound strategy to protect your family's future. It's never too late. I've known Chris for over a decade. I trust him with my retirement. Let him go to work for you and find that right path to a sound investment and retirement strategy for you. Call Chris today at 813-434-0037. For a complimentary, no obligation, preliminary conversation, and you'll be glad you did.
You know, I'm calling Chris as soon as we get out of here. I've decided, you know, I was on vacation last week, went down to Key West, and I've determined that the best way to secure my family's future is not to try and steal and resell the six-toed cats from the Hemingway house.
Yeah.
Strict laws against that, as I found out down there in Key West.
Yeah. Well, you also told me.
They frown on that.
You told me heading down to the Keys that you were going to go... deep sea diving and look for some Spanish doubloons at the bottom of the ocean.
That's true.
Did that not happen?
No, I found a stingray.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that didn't work out as well as I planned. So, I did attempt to break into one of the treasure museums down there. And again, that's frowned upon. No, that's not sound financial advice. So, I will be going to call Chris because I'm tired of being on the run from the law. Let's face it.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of being on the run from the law, we haven't had any arrests this offseason.
That's
knock
a good
on
thing.
Wood, right?
Just one PED suspension for Ryan Smith.
What in the world?
But
you know what? People were saying, just cut him. Look, this is probably going to be an unpopular opinion, but what's new with me? if I'm a fringe guy and I'm trying to make an NFL roster where I could potentially make $1 million a year,
yeah,
if I can give myself a boost, a little bit of an advantage, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. I don't blame the guys. And I don't. We don't know what he did. He may have taken a Will Greer GNC supplement for all we know.
That's exactly right. As it could have been. I mean, this isn't like the baseball with the Barry Bonds and sticking
the
Dominican
anabolic
needles
steroids and stuff,
you know, in you. So this could be anything from a supplement that you didn't know was banned and things that are on a list that you didn't know about. Or
could have been an energy drink. Yeah. It could have literally been a drink that you buy at Circle K or a convenience store with these boosts.
I mean, you look at
it.
Guys from Clemson where they were suspended from the national championship game for stuff that they were getting served, I think, around the team and around trainers and stuff. So these things pop up all the time.
Yeah. So, but I don't, you know, listen, if, you know, this is a very, this is a game where you can make a lot of money, not baseball or basketball money we've seen lately, but certainly you can make a lot of money. And Ryan Smith is not a bona fide starter, no guarantee to make this football team. When you see this football team draft cornerback after cornerback the last 2 years, you know, who knows what goes through a player's mind. So I'm not one of those guys say just cut the guy right now. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, too. They're not going to cut him because they've known that the suspension was coming since March. And so they had plenty of an opportunity to make a move. Keep in mind, guys, I believe there are 8 cornerbacks on this roster. The Bucs usually carry 10 going into training camp. Now, Ryan Smith will participate in training camp, and he'll be eligible to participate in the preseason, which he will. It's just he has to be suspended for those first 4 games. I think right now, barring any major upsets, I think the first 4 cornerbacks are set: Vernon Hargraves, Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean, Sean Murphy Bunting. I think those are the 4 drafted cornerbacks that are going to make it. I think Ryan Smith it will be 5th. He was also a draft pick in the 2016 draft in the 4th round. Mm-hmm. I think he makes it as the 5th guy, but he will start the season on the suspension list, so there'll be another player that's needed, and it's probably going to be Devontae Harris, is my guess. So I think, barring any injuries or upsets, I think the cornerback roster is almost set. So why do they not have 10 cornerbacks like they usually bring into camp? And the reason for that is because I believe that Sean Murphy Bunting will ultimately win that nickel corner job, but it's not really a nickel corner spot. It's just a nickel spot. And they've got more safeties this year than they've ever had. I think they've got 8 to 10 safeties on the roster, and they usually have about 6 or 7 because they really only need 4. And so I think that you're going to see a safety be that backup nickel position, and the players that Sean Murphy Bunting is battling right now is the starter, MJ Stewart, who moved from cornerback to safety. Then you've got Lucas Dennis, and I think Mike Edwards, if he doesn't win the strong safety job in training camp, he's going to be seeing some time at nickel. Mm-hmm. And then Dakota Dixon is another guy that is in the mix. So I really believe that you're going to see, when it's all said and done, you know, you might have 11, 12 maybe defensive backs on this team. You're going to have 5 of those corners, and you might end up having an extra safety or 2 because those guys are going to be cross-trained to play in that nickel spot.
And listen, attrition's going to play a part in all this, too. We know some guys are going to get injured. Knock on wood, it's not Vernon Hargraves. Knock on wood, Justin Evans is able to play. But they brought in a guy like Kentrell Bryce as a guy because they knew that, you know, and I think it was Lovie Smith who said he's never made it through an NFL season without losing a safety.
Yeah, with both starting safeties on the team, yeah.
And listen, let's face it, Chris Conte's still out there as a free agent. He's available.
Oh, man.
Chris has been training a lot. I still follow Chris. Chris and I chit-chat every once in a while. He's training hard.
You just gave Pewter Nation like a collective chill up its spine.
Him and DeSean Jackson, did you know this? They're playing basketball together.
Really?
Saw an Instagram video of them.
Well, they're both Cal Bears.
Hoops.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, so they're good friends. But Chris Conte is still available.
Well, so let me just throw this out here as we kind of wrap up this podcast. This is going to be a different training camp than we've seen under the last 3 years of Dirk Cutter,
for sure. We hope so.
Yeah. What are some of those differences going to be?
I think a more physical camp is the one thing that I'm hoping to see.
Yeah.
Certainly, I get Dirk Cutter's point to a degree. You want to start the season as healthy as you can, but I thought it was kind of interesting. We were talking to Mike Allstott at the event the other night about you bringing up the point of Tony Mayberry coming out last year and wondering when the hitting starts, and you said there is no hitting.
Yeah.
And it was funny because Nicole, Mike's wife, piped up in the back and said, yeah, isn't there more injuries if they're not hitting during the season?
Yeah.
I mean, here's a lady that's just a football player's wife, though,
sure,
who saw her husband go through, you know, some two-a-days.
Mm-hmm. Here, he said 3 days back in college.
In college,
just
as he mentioned.
Just a different time. It's crazy.
You know, and yeah, and I understand the CBA and some of the rules that they have, but a lot of these are coaches' rules, too. So
sure,
I hope it's more physical. I've got to see the one-on-ones with the O-line and the D-line. I love that. And, again, that's not necessarily a fair representation of how a player's going to play
mm-hmm,
because, again, when you've got five men in there, you're mm-hmm, you're playing in a crowded box with a lot of moving bodies.
Right.
Rarely is it one-on-one, and I think the advantage goes to the defensive player in that because there's no one next to you on the side or anything like that. But to me, you know, I believe that's a bonding moment.
Yeah.
When I coached high school football, that was a big thing. I was an mm-hmm, offensive line coach. And we took it personal when it was one-on-one, and we kept tallies of who won.
I was a defensive line coach for Pop Warner. We took it personal. You're exactly right.
And, you know, it's – again, that's just me. It may be the old school thing. I like the yelling and the cursing kind of coaches, but I like to see that physical aspect,
yeah,
and I think it helps build a unit's team chemistry and bonding.
You're going to see Ryan Jensen and Ali Marpet go up against Ndamukong Suh. Like, who doesn't want to see that going into training camp?
Yeah, and also, too – we're going to see some tackling. That's one thing that Bruce Arians did say.
Good.
He said we have to be smart, and it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it may not be Peyton Barber the one getting tackled. They might save those tackling drills for Dari Ogunbowale, you know, or
sure,
Bruce Anderson. Yeah, you know,
pride of Newsom High School.
Yeah, but we will see some tackling, and that's one thing we just did not see under Dirk Cutter. And you know what, too, it's like, if you go back and look, and Dirk said this repeatedly in press conferences, he wanted everybody to be healthy for week one. What happened week one?
They won.
Sure. But
then it didn't look like they could tackle until about week five.
Yeah, but
I mean, they gave up 40 points, and no big deal.
But you also saw players starting to drop like flies.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's Vernon Hargraves, you know, hurt his shoulder in that Saints game and was out for the entire year.
And we saw a guy like Carlton Davis, although he didn't get hurt in that game. His eyes were as big as saucers. You can, you know, when you go three-quarter speed in practice and in training camp, and even in preseason to agree, but when it starts, and he got a rude awakening to welcome to the NFL kid moment. And I think, you know, the tackling part or the hitting part, all of those things are important to condition yourself for the season.
Yeah.
So you're not shocked. You're not a deer in the headlights when you get out there on the football field, particularly for the defense. And the injuries that we've seen in training camp, and we still see them every year, even without the tackling. Last year, Vita Vea goes down, not any type of major contact.
Mitch Unrein.
Yeah.
Done.
Severe.
You know, concussion.
He wasn't even outside.
They weren't even in pads.
Yeah.
I mean, so these injuries can still take place.
Sure.
You know, a lot of, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater a few years ago, non-contact injury.
I mean,
injuries are going to happen. It's part of the game, and you've got to hope that you know, you get lucky because the healthiest teams tend to be the teams standing towards the end of the year.
And I definitely think there's a line to it because I remember seeing a tweet from the Falcons last year, and it was during training camp, and it was like, boom, hit stick with an emoji, and it was Keanu Neal laying out one of his teammates like mm-hmm. an open field, like shoulder to chest, blew him up.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting there on my phone going, those are teammates.
Yeah.
And they've got games to play in a few weeks, and you're laying hits like that. There's a line.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Dirk Cutter's, I mean, it was like we would say it's wrap up and that's the end of the play. There were times they weren't even wrapping up.
It was
up.
Like two hands.
There
touch.
Was like they would make the catch, they'd start to run, and the whistle would blow. No one would track them. No one would get there. They wouldn't even two hand touch sometimes.
Yeah.
So we're talking about wrapping up.
I thought
up.
Peyton Barber was going to run for 8,000 yards last year because
he never
got
he
touched.
He never got touched.
Yeah, no, he had 400 yard days every practice.
And like you said, then a guy like Carlton Davis jumps into his first preseason game, and he's got to play a quarter against guys that are bigger and faster and stronger and better than guys he's ever played against.
Mm-hmm. And at a speed
that he hasn't faced yet. Right. He hasn't tackled a guy since Auburn.
Yeah. And those are fair points. I think the other thing that we're going to see, aside from more physicality and some tackling, is I think we're going to see a continuation.
Music?
No music.
No music.
Yeah, no music.
I can sing if you guys want.
That's okay.
I can rap in the stands in the media section.
Don't know if that's going to be
lay down some beats.
Accepted.
No,
might be frowned upon.
Probably.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I think that you're going to see the continuation of what I thought was a novel and genius approach, which is these two practices going on at the same time, the varsity and the JV, and you're going to see What's going to be fascinating is to see who graduates from the JV field mm-hmm. to the varsity field to get reps with the ones and the twos rather than the threes and the fours. And we saw some of that with, you know, out of necessity, right? When Mike Evans was missing some time, when Brashad Perriman was missing some time in the OTAs, that's where you saw Scotty Miller start on one field, and then by the end of of the offseason program, he was seeing some reps with the twos. And it's going to be interesting to see which guys. Is it Bruce Anderson, the running back? You know, is it going to continue to be Scotty Anderson? Who are the players that are going to be coming over after shining on the JV field to the varsity field? But you're going to see some rapid development of these undrafted free agents, of these second and third day draft picks, and these newcomers as a result of getting all these reps. And I think what it's going to do for the starters, for the ones in the twos, because Mike Evans is not going to have that chance to get much of a breather because there's four other receivers behind him. It's going to be the ones and the twos in this field, the threes and the fours over here. Is you're going to see a better conditioned starting unit, offense and defense, from the Buccaneers.
And even if it's the top four on one field and the other four on the other field, mm-hmm. as they start out with 90 guys, that's still twice as many reps that he would get in a Dirk Cutter type thing when there are seven more receivers behind him in practice. Exactly. So, yeah, that's a good point I didn't think about. That's going to be good.
And that's one of the things that Mike Evans said he's focused on for the last two off seasons was his conditioning.
Yeah.
Because he said, when we get into the fourth quarter, there are times when I'm gassed.
He's got to
and I'm
out
of breath. Yeah. And this is going to be the entire team is getting double reps. There won't be guys, if they're practicing hard and they're going 100%, you're not getting gassed in the fourth quarter.
Right.
If you're running double the reps in training camp and –
You know what? And I think that's something else we're going to see. We're going to see more full speed. We're not going to be seeing this three-quarter speed and all of that. There's going to be some install times where mm-hmm. there's going to be some walkthroughs. But I think when it's 7-on-7, 11-on-11, it's going to be full speed. And that's the one thing, and I read this in the Quarterback Whisperer book, and Bruce has said it several times. If you want to connect in the deep balls, you got to have your receivers going full speed, catching 40, 50-yard bombs. You know, you can't simulate that. That's got to be real. Like you've got to actually do that, and get good at it from a timing standpoint. And so I think if we're going to see Jameis Winston take a quantum leap when it comes to 11-on-11 with the pads on, it's going to be because we're seeing the deep shots happen at full speed with pads on with these receivers.
Well, and Bruce Arians isn't going to kill him either, because he's said if you're a coach and you're here till 4 a.m., you're not doing your job well mm-hmm. enough. And we saw in mandatory minicamp and OTAs, I think the practices might end at 12:30. Mm-hmm. They'd be getting off the field at 12:15.
Right. Or even 12 sometimes.
I think they had a good day. I think they worked hard.
Yeah.
And I think if the object is we're getting 3 hours at 100% mm-hmm. or we're getting 4 hours at 75% and you're also getting double the reps in those 3 hours, it's just a better workout. Would you rather sprint for 5 minutes or jog for 10?
I'd really jog for 10.
Neither.
Myself.
I'll walk.
You'd rather... But you're going to get better sprinting for 5.
Of course, yeah. I'm also 47.
Yeah.
Young buck.
All right. Well, we will be back next week after we have an opportunity to talk to some players. We've got to talk about a couple other sponsors real quick. We talked mm-hmm. about our good friends over at West Shore Financial. But one of my favorite places, and a place that I missed, the food was tremendous in Key West, but I'm not going to lie, I didn't have a burger any better than the ones I get at Ford's Garage.
It's hard to find a burger that you're going to get better than Ford's Garage.
And the drink prices are a lot better at Ford's Garage than they are on Duval Street.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? It's gotten to the point where I can't go to Ford's Garage without getting the nachos.
I know. I'm the same way. That's what I crave.
Yeah. And actually, I went there with my good friend Kendrick Montgomery, who's a big-time PewterReport.com fan and follower. And I got the nachos, and they were so big, we split them, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't have room for a burger, neither did he, but I got the baked beans with the bacon.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you talk about a fantastic
a
side.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I was full just from half nachos
and a side of baked beans.
A side of bacon and a course of beer.
Yep. No, excellent. Ford's Garage located throughout Central Florida. New locations popping up soon down in Bradenton over off of Cortez Boulevard, Daytona Beach. They're in Kissimmee right now. Of course, multiple locations in the Bay Area. Go to FordsGarageUSA.com, and you can find out your local home base location. You can also check out their menu, their drink specials, and all of the things like that. Great place if you're not going to go to Buccaneer games. Great place to go watch the games, too, as well, at Ford's Garage, where they have multiple TVs big screens, high definition, terrific staff, and we appreciate them being a sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast.
Are there any places that have low definition TVs these days?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Did you see some down there in Key West?
I don't know if it was the low definition or my vision was not very good. But, yeah, no, there's a few low I don't know that they consider – they don't really call themselves sports bars if they have low definition. Yeah, there's a few places that have low definition. I think my
because that used to be like a big selling point, you know, for sports bars. Like, we've got high definition TVs.
I'm rewatching The Sopranos right now, and that was the big thing. They brought in a flat screen TV in one episode. Chris ripped off a truck or something like that.
Right.
He's like, oh, they went from Laserdisc to DVD. That was the big thing during The Sopranos, too.
Yeah.
When the father, whatever his name is, came over and brought over the DVD copy of a movie instead of a Laserdisc.
You don't even have to priest, slap the side of this.
They was trying to hook up a Carmella.
Picture to come in.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, it is the best TV series ever.
Really?
I've never seen it.
One of the best. It's a top three TV show of all time.
I can't think of anything.
Do you watch
better.
Game of Thrones?
Love Game of Thrones.
Okay.
But the last season, man, really soured it.
Of course. But I'm just saying, like, is it in that caliber?
By the way, you guys can stop listening if you want to now. We're just rambling on now. But
we've got a very important announcement to make.
Yes, we do.
Yes. You'll be hearing a very, very familiar voice on the podcast next week.
Will we?
Yes, the return of Trevor Sikkema to the Pewter Report staff.
The return of Trevor.
Just in time for Bucks training camp in the regular season, so we will be a five-man band here.
Five-man band, that sounds good. We'll be like the Monkees.
That's right.
I know they were four-man.
Well, wasn't Ringo Starr part of the Monkees?
I will give Taylor or Matt $20 right now if they can name all four members of the Monkees, either one of you guys, without looking it up. You have 15 seconds. Go.
Jimmy.
Wrong.
Jimmy. Jimmy.
Chimpanzee.
No.
Orangutan.
No.
Macaque.
No, we're talking about...
We're talking about the band that influenced the Beatles, okay?
Yes,
that changed musical history.
Oh, I thought we were talking about primates.
No.
No.
No, we're talking about the band, the Monkees.
Hey, we're the Monkees. People say we're monkeying around.
We're too busy...
Singing.
...to let anybody down. I don't know how it goes. All right, so there was Davy, the heartthrob.
Davy Jones. Of Davy Jones' The Locker fame.
There was Mickey.
Dolenz.
Drummer.
Of Mouse
also
fame.
Lead singer.
Mm-hmm.
Mike. And Peter Tork.
I thought it was Peter Townsend.
No, Tork. Townsend was with the Who.
Who was Mike?
Mike Nesmith. And,
Nesmith, yeah.
In fact, he was
like the George Harrison of
however,
the Monkees, right?
However, the richest one, because his mother or his father, somebody invented whiteout. So he is a multi-billionaire.
Michael Nesmith?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Invented whiteout?
Yeah.
What year did these guys play music?
60s.
60s.
Oh, my gosh.
Heavily influenced the Beatles.
Oh, yeah. Music would not be what it is today.
Yeah.
There would be no Post Malone without Peter Tork.
Last Train of Orsville.
He could have lived about two and a half, three lives.
I'm not
since
your
they
stepping
released
stone.
Wake up, Sleepy Gene.
Wake up, Sleepy Gene.
I mean, the Monkees are the greatest. If you don't like the Monkees, then don't listen to this podcast, damn it. Just kidding.
I think we should start with the Monkees song, right? Yeah.
That's perfect. Perfect. I thought we were going to do a Key West song, but no, the Monkees are even better. So
So we've run through the older section, and now I think we should hop to the millennial section. The Madden ratings came out this past week.
Okay. Let's spin on the Madden
ratings. Don't know if you guys have seen them, but I just wanted to see a reaction to where some of the Bucks players fell.
Okay, let's do it.
Mike Evans, 91 overall, was the number 10 receiver.
I like the 91, but number 10, wow.
Behind DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr., Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams.
Wow. I think he's better than Davante Adams. And who is the second to the last one?
Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, Michael Thomas.
I think he's
Thomas.
Better than Stephon Diggs.
Yep.
I think Mike's at least 8.
He should be higher than that. He's a top 5 receiver.
Yeah.
O.J. Howard came in at 84 overall, tied with Evan Engram for the 15th ranked tight end.
Both spit.
Behind guys like Jack Doyle and Austin Hooper.
Oh,
Hooper I like, but not over. I would still take O.J. over all those guys.
Yeah. I mean, O.J. is going to be making a quantum leap in next year's man ratings because he's going to have a quantum leap on the field this year in terms of production.
Very underrated TV show from the 80s, too, by the way.
What?
Quantum Leap?
Yeah. I thought you were making an Avengers reference when Ant-Man goes through the time thing.
Oh, yeah, the quantum dimension or whatever it was.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought that's where you're going with it. But that
the
could
hell
be
are you guys talking about?
You're talking about Scott Bakula. Right?
Yeah.
And Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap.
Right. Okay.
Great show. Who else we got there?
And then we got Cambrate to 79, so a few points below him.
Okay.
Now, here come the tackles. This is an interesting one. DeMar Dotson, 88 overall, third highest ranked right tackle.
I saw that.
I like
Donovan Smith, 68 overall, 32nd ranked left tackle.
Fair.
Not offensive tackle, 32nd ranked
fair.
Left tackle.
Completely fair.
Puts him behind some rookies who have not played a snap and some backups.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little
He's higher than that. And DeMar, I love DeMar, but, I mean, that's...
Name me three other better right tackles. I can't think of three.
Well, I have television on the Buccaneers. I couldn't tell you who the right tackle for the Chargers was or, you know, other teams.
So you can't say it's inaccurate. Maybe correct.
It may be, I guess.
Maybe a bunch of Jason Odoms over there.
Yeah, or Jerry Winches.
Or Kenyatta Walkers.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Lavonte David, 90 overall. He's the third-ranked middle linebacker in the game.
Okay.
Devin White's a 74 overall, but his 92 speed, I think, ranks him the fastest middle linebacker in the game.
I can see that.
I think the only one over 90 was Devin Bush, and he was 91.
Fair. Yeah.
And then this one's for the fans.
Okay.
Vita Veo, I think, was an 80. But Ndamukong Suh was an 85, and Gerald McCoy was an 86.
Ooh. Ooh, controversy. Ooh. All I want to know is where does Matt Gay stand?
Matt Gay? Oh, I thought about looking him up.
Yeah, I wanted to because I was like, man, that would be fun. Well, we'll leave the Matt Gay ranking until next week.
Yeah.
As we are joined by Trevor Sikkema and talking more Buccaneers after the press conferences at One Buccaneer Place as the veterans will have reported next Thursday, and training camp will start next Friday.
For Matthew Matera, Mr. Taylor Nutt-Tinker-Checker-Jennings.
Tinker-Chinker.
I kind of put that together. Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cooksham. We'll see you next week with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Out. Ooh.